Welcome again. We are now continuing with Samba XP in track one with the next talk. Please welcome David Mulder with the topic Samba Active Directory Tools for Windows Admins.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
So I'm a Samba developer at SUSE Linux. Currently, also a graduate student at Utah Valley University. Prior to working at SUSE, I worked on the Ventilla Authentication Services project. Many of you have probably heard of that. And I've also taught computer science at a local university. Give me a second and I will share my slides. Okay, today I'll be giving a follow-up talk to last year's presentation about Active Directory administrative tools for Samba. First, I'd like to introduce today's agenda. Last year, I introduced the Active Directory Users and Computers tool for Linux, as well as an ADSI edit tool. I'll review these tools briefly today. I indicated last year I was working on a DNS manager, and today I'll introduce that tool to you. I'll also introduce a group policy management console for creating, deleting, and modifying group policies. Next, I'll talk about the backend changes to Active Directory Users and Computers and ADSI Edit. I'll also review the backend code that DNS Manager uses, which it shares in common with the Samba tool DNS command. I'll talk about an independent build I put together that wraps all the build requirements for these tools into a single package. Then I'll introduce an app image I've created that allows you to easily deploy these tools to most Linux distributions. I'll also introduce some new automated testing, which has already caught a number of bugs. And finally, I'll mention some other installation options on OpenSUSE, SUSE Linux Enterprise Server, and on Fedora. A live questions and answers segment for this talk is being handled on Slido, which you can access via code 85833. Or via this QR code on the screen. And for your information, the Slido for this talk will remain open for a week after this live presentation. So for those who are participating through the recording, you can still connect to this Slido and answer questions afterward. So first off, I'd like to learn a little bit about the audience. Let's start by having you share why you're interested in joining this presentation. Did you attend my talk last year, or have you used the tools since I first introduced them? Or maybe you've joined because the title of the talk piqued your interest. Go ahead and enter your answers there, and everyone can follow along. I don't know if it'll display on the slide here as we get answers, but you can still follow along on the web page as we continue. You can also, of course, enter questions on the Q&A. Thanks for unmuting me. I accidentally muted myself. Well, I did cough briefly, and then it locked me up. Locked me out. Okay. So we'll be having a question and answers later, and we can talk about some of this. Some people are mentioning RSAT. Well, we'll move on. So for those of you who attended my presentation last year, you'll remember that I introduced two new command line tools meant to help Windows administrators transition to using a Samba Active Directory domain. If you're an Active Directory administrator, then you should already be familiar with the Active Directory Users and Computers and ADSI Edit tools found in Windows. Here we'll briefly review these Linux counterparts. And first I'll review the Active Directory Users and Computers tool. To load Active Directory Users and Computers, first run the admin tools executable and choose the Active Directory Users and Computers option from the menu. And when you open Active Directory Users and Computers, it will prompt you for credentials. If you're currently knitted, that user will show up at the bottom of the login form. You can either click on the knitted user or enter your credentials to continue. When Active Directory Users and Computers is open, the layout should feel familiar to Active Directory administrators, since it has the same look and feel as the Windows Active Directory Users and Computers. To view and edit a user's properties, navigate to the user's container under your domain name. Then highlight the user in the list to the right and click Enter to open the user properties. One useful addition I've added to the user properties dialog is the Unix attributes. These are the user's POSIX attributes stored in Active Directory. And this field obviously will let you modify those attributes for users in Active Directory. Active Directory Users and Computers, of course, provides the tools to create various objects, including users, groups, computers, organizational units, and so on. And then let's review the ADSI Edit tool. ADSI Edit uses a hierarchical tree view. It gives you the ability to delete, rename, or otherwise modify objects in LDAP. Active Directory Users and Computers usually provides everything necessary for domain administration, but occasionally you need more fine-grained controls, which is what ADSI Edit is for. It allows you to modify all the attributes of various objects. Last year, I mentioned I was working on a DNS manager. Today, I'll introduce that tool and explain some of its features. The DNS manager is essentially a front-end GUI for the Samba tool DNS command. It provides a simplified graphical interface, which will allow you to see an overall view of your DNS setup. With this tool, you can create and delete forward and reverse zones, add host and pointer records, create various records, and even create a delegation. Next, I'll demonstrate how these things are done. First, we'll need to connect to the DNS server, and we start by opening the admin tools console from the terminal, then select the DNS option from the admin tools menu. Within the DNS manager, open the action menu and select connect to DNS server. Choose which DNS server to connect to, and you'll click OK. You'll then be prompted to enter your credentials to authenticate to the server. On successful connection, you'll see a list of zones which you can expand in the tree. Now let's try creating a forward lookup zone. To create the zone, highlight forward lookup zones in the tree, then open the action menu and click New Zone. Enter a zone name in the dialog that appears, then click Finish. A message will appear indicating whether the zone was created successfully. If you expand the tree, you should now see the zone you created in the forward lookup zones. Now let's try creating a reverse lookup zone. To create a reverse lookup zone, highlight reverse lookup zones in the tree, then open the action menu and click New Zone. Choose whether the zone is for an IP version 4 or an IP version 6 addresses, and then click Next. Then either enter a network ID or a reverse zone name and click Finish. A dialog appears indicating whether the zone was created successfully. If you expand the tree, you should now see the zone you created in the reverse lookup zones. Next, let's create a host record and an associated pointer record. To create a host record, open the action menu and select New Host. Enter the host name, then the IP address, either IP version 4 or IP version 6 will do. If you wish to create an associated pointer record, you check the box next to Create Associated Pointer Record. Click OK and a dialog will appear indicating whether the objects were created successfully. Now, if you navigate to the reverse zone associated with the IP address you created a host record for, you should see the new pointer record as well. Now let's discuss how to create other record types. To create CNAME, MX, SRV, or TXT records, highlight a zone, then select the Other New Records option from the Action menu. Highlight the record type you wish to create, then select Create Record. To create a CNAME or alias record, enter an alias and a fully qualified domain name, then click OK. To create an MX or mail exchanger record, enter a host or child domain, enter the fully qualified domain name of the mail server, and set the mail server priority, then click OK. To create an SRV or service location record, choose a service from the dropdown, then choose from either the TCP or UDP protocols. Choose a priority and wait, set the port number, then specify the host offering the service. Choose OK to create the record. To create a TXT record, simply provide a record name and the text, clicking OK to save the record. Next, let's create a new GET delegation. To create the delegation, highlight a domain and select the new delegation from the Action menu. Type the subdomain under Delegated Domain that you want to delegate and click Next. A window will appear requesting a list of DNS servers for the delegated zone. Click Add. Enter the server name, then click Resolve to discover the server IP addresses, then click OK. Repeat these steps for each server you want to have host the delegated zone. Click Finish and the delegated zone is displayed. I've been tinkering with group policy in Samba for several years, and one brainchild of my group policy work was the creation of a group policy management console GUI. This console provides access to creating and deleting group policies and modifying some of the policies. Let me demonstrate how these things are done. And first, we'll connect to the console. And you'll first need to open the admin tools console from the terminal. Then select the group policy management option from the admin tools menu. When you open the group policy management console, it'll prompt you for credentials. Similar to the Active Directory users and computers tool, if you're currently knitted, that user will show up at the bottom of the login form. You can either click on the knitted user or enter your credentials to continue. On successful connection, you'll see a list of existing group policy objects in the domain. Now let's create and link a group policy object. To create the group policy object, highlight the domain or container where you want the object linked. Then open the Action menu and select Create a GPO in this domain and link it here. Enter the name of the new group policy in the dialog that appears, then click OK. The new group policy object should appear where you chose to link the object. Highlighting the group policy will display various details, such as its unique ID and its current status. In order to use group policies in WinBind, we'll need to first enable it on the WinBind clients. Enabling the following setting in WinBind will cause WinBind to execute the Samba GP update command on a regular interval. To enable it, set the Apply Group Policies Global option in SMBconf to Yes. WinBind is currently able to deploy Kerberos and system access policies via group policy. The password policies allow you to set things such as the minimum and maximum password age, the minimum password length, and the password complexity requirements. The Kerberos policies allow you to set maximum lifetime for user tickets and ticket renewals, and the maximum lifetime for service tickets. To modify the Kerberos and system access policies, first, open the policy by highlighting it, then opening the Action menu and selecting Edit. Next, to modify the minimum password length, navigate to the password policy in Computer Configuration, Policies, OS Settings, Security Settings, Account Policy, then Password Settings. Highlight the minimum password length setting, then press Enter. Set the minimum length in characters, then choose OK to save the policy. You'll see immediately that the policy here has been modified to require a minimum length password of 10 characters. Next, to modify the maximum lifetime for a user ticket, navigate to the Kerberos policy in Computer Configuration, Policies, OS Settings, Security Settings, Account Policy, then Kerberos Policy. Highlight the maximum lifetime for user ticket setting, then press Enter. Set the maximum lifetime in hours, then choose OK to save the policy. You can see that the policy has been modified to require a maximum lifetime of 10 hours here. Now, these policies, when the Samba GP update command runs on Windbind clients, these policies will be applied to the server. And now I'd like to know your opinion about some of these tools. Is there anything specific you'd like me to build? What tools are you interested in having access to? Are there any additional features you'd like to see added to the existing tools? I recently received a request from the community to implement all of RSAT, which is a pretty big request. But there's the four tools there now. And also our team has produced a couple other tools I haven't mentioned here, namely a Windbind domain join tool, which has been around for quite a while, an SMB server tool, and an Active Directory server promotion tool. I haven't added these to the admin tools, but you could mention these if you're interested in using them. I'll go ahead and leave this part of the question open as we continue, and you guys can comment as we go on. Next, let's talk about some of the back-end changes made to the Active Directory users and computers and ADSI edit tools. Now, this part of the talk is more geared towards developers, just so you know, but it's more technical details of what I've been working on. Last year, I received some comments about how these tools were using Python LDAP to communicate with LDAP servers. This past year, I rewrote the backend code for Active Directory users and computers and ADSI Edit to instead use Samba's SAMDB. SAMDB provides a similar interface to the Python LDAP code, plus provides some additional features relevant to Active Directory. Another motivation to this change was the fact that Python LDAP was a little late on its Python 3 conversion. This is no longer a problem, but last year the package was dropped from some distributions temporarily because of this lag in Python 3 support. So it was certainly an advantage to just switch over to using SAMDB against Samba code. The DNS manager is actually integrated with the Samba tool DNS command, which I mentioned. This next section is for the developers in the room also, since I encountered some oddities when integrating with Samba tool. So for example, importing DNS from the samba.net command in Python allows you to instantiate a command object. You can then execute the run command from that command object, passing in the Samba tool DNS parameters. Mostly this works fine. Though there are a couple of oddities, the DNS query command dumps ugly output to the terminal. Ugly as in it's ugly for parsing. It looks pretty to the eye, but not to computer code. An alternative is to override the DNS print DNS records function, which is a function that the DNS command, the Samba tool DNS command uses to parse and dump the output. Overriding this function, and it's setting the output of the function to an out variable allows me to grab the data from that function from the output of the call. This is pretty ugly, but it allows fetching of that return object rather than trying to parse the data. We could perhaps return from this call instead of just dumping the output, and then Samba tool could ignore the return data. That would be useful for my purposes here. The other DNS functions were much simpler to grab the output from by just setting the output to a string IO object and parsing manually. But a return status code would simplify the interface quite a bit. Zone create and zone list require a client version parameter, which you must pass as either W2KL, .NET, or Longhorn. The purpose of this parameter seems to involve the correct parsing of the output, but you know, couldn't we just handle this automatically? It seems to me this should be handled in the logic of the code, not within the GUI. I don't know. Somebody else here probably understands that better than me, and you're welcome to comment and tell me. last year, when I gave my first talk about these tools, I received a lot of feedback requesting the ability to run these tools on other Linux distributions. This year, I've added a number of options for building and installing the admin tools. First of all, I've created a Git project with submodules that allow a simpler build and install of the dependencies. To build the admin tools, simply clone the repository using the recursive parameter to clone all submodules. Then run the autogen and configure scripts, and finally build and install the package using make. And if you encounter packaging errors, please file a bug on Samba Bugzilla and send me a message also. There's also a number of build dependencies you'll need that are listed in the README of the package. Those of you who witnessed my talk last year are probably wondering what happened to Yast. Now, these tools were written in Yast to run on Yast originally on OpenSUSE, so why haven't I mentioned it? And the answer is that they're still there, but only barely. I stripped down the dependencies to the bare minimum, and those Yast dependencies are built and installed by the independent build. All that remains is Yast core and some Yast language bindings. Sorry. These dependencies have a tiny footprint, by the way. Yast core has a footprint of a single megabyte, and the language bindings are even smaller. Yast core is sort of a wrapper between libYUI and various languages, allowing multiple scripting languages to interact with one another. Admin tools is written only in Python, so the Yast core wrapper is really unnecessary. LibYUI also provides SWG-generated Python bindings, so it should be relatively straightforward to strip out the remaining Yast core dependencies. And I've actually started working on this, and it's a pretty simple, straightforward task. So in short, only a small part of Yast remains, and it will soon be removed. So this begs the question, without the Yast dependency, would it be possible to merge these tools into the Samba tree? It would add an outside dependency on the libYUI library. And if anybody has any thoughts on this, please comment in the questions and answer. We can discuss it further. So what then is libYUI? It's a user interface engine that provides an abstraction from graphical user interfaces such as Qt, GTK, and ncurses. Essentially, it's a wrapper on top of various GUIs that allow the same application to run in multiple interfaces. The examples I've shown in this presentation only show the ncurses GUI, but these tools also can run in Qt and GTK. The next thing I've done to allow easier distribution of this tool is that I created an app image. App images are single file applications that run on most Linux distributions. To install an app image, you simply download the binary, make it executable, and then run it. To get the admin tools app image, you can download it from the app image hub at appimage.github.io or via this QR code on the screen. The app image is 63 megabytes, and this is primarily due to the fact that I wrapped Samba inside of the app image. This isn't strictly necessary, but it simplified some Samba version dependencies at the time of creation. It requires Samba 4.10 at least, which many distros didn't have yet when I created the app image. At some point, I'll just remove the Samba, the built-in Samba. It's not really necessary. Next, let's talk about the recent addition of automated testing for these tools. Last year, I received a specific request during my presentation about providing automated testing for these tools. Obviously, having automated testing available allows me to catch bugs early on during development. Fortunately, this testing was in place when I did the switch from the Python LDAP backend to using SAMDB, since I was able to prevent the introduction of a number of bugs. Along with catching bugs in the admin tools, I've also actually discovered a couple of bugs in SAMDB in the process. The tests use Python's unit test framework and test the graphical user interface using an ugly screen scraping tool called Hecate. If anyone has a better suggestion for testing curses applications, I'm open to suggestions. The test framework can run against either an installed copy of the admin tools that's built on the machine or also against the app image. In addition to the manual build and the app image, there are also a couple of distribution packages that are, I've made available. If you're running SUSE Linux Enterprise or OpenSUSE, you can install the package using Zipper. Or if you want to take a look at the source code first, you can clone the code from the repositories listed here from GitHub, then run the rake install command from the individual packages. If you're running Fedora, you can add the repo as shown, then install the admin tools package using yum install. Installing admin tools will pull in all the necessary dependencies to run the console. If you have any other questions, feel free to contact me via email, or you can reach me on Freenode in the Samba technical channel. Now I'll open up for questions. You're welcome to either submit your questions via Slido, via the Zoom chat window, or you can unmute yourself and ask me directly if you'd like. Well, I'm not seeing any questions. Oh, there we go. Did I consider a web interface? No. We already have had the SWAT tool that kind of fell to disuse. Someone talked to me last year during right after my presentation about another tool somebody was developing that did some similar things in a web interface, but it was closed source from what I understand. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember who told me about this. But no, I was intentionally making it a user interface on the client, just so that it can be installed on a Samba Active Directory domain or on a Linux client. I mean, on Windows, you already have the RSAT tools, and this just makes the same sort of tools available on Linux. Any other questions? Are you planning on releasing packages for Debian-based distributions? I certainly could. I just have no experience with Debian packaging. So if someone would like to take that on, you're, by all means. At some point, maybe I'll jump on and see if I can do that. I mean, I could, there's a possibility I could, use Alien to convert some RPMs to Debian, but of course you could do that yourself if you wanted to also. But obviously it would be better if we had an actual Debian package available. I'll keep that in mind and I'll take a look at that. So Alexander, thanks for your comment. There is a cockpit project in Fedora for, and other distributions. We have a Google Summer of Code project this year to create Samba 80 app page for Cockpit. Oh, okay. Well, that would be cool to have on Cockpit. Stefan says he would like to see the site management and trust inside the tool. Oh, okay. I think Slido closed the poll on my slides. I just reopened it. So if you want to add that in there, you can put it there. So site management and trust. I'll take a look at that next. Thanks, Stefan. Anybody else? Well, it looks like that's it. So I will turn the time back over to you guys. And thank you.
Thank you very much for your talk. So then we make about 15 minutes break until the closing remarks of the first day.